Welcome to Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Society doesn't want you to blame anything but yourself. It's a trait, not mental health. People out there is not going to understand you until you let them know. You definitely got to take into account your mental health. You have to tune into your own mind. Hey, what's going on? It's your man, Cassidy Number One, with another Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. First, I got to do it every single time is thank everybody for supporting this podcast, rocking with me, really supporting me heavy. I really appreciate that. You have no idea how this podcast has really changed me and changed my life and helped me out. With that said, you know, I know I said this before, but I want to reiterate this again. I'm changing the tone of the podcast. As you probably see from the title, you know, when anxiety shows up, like anger, I'm going to be more focused on real mental health problems that Black men face. I know for a while I kind of got off the radar, done some commentary, some stuff that people may have called red pill stuff, but I took last week off because I really wanted to sit down and do it right. A lot of times I just talked on the podcast, but this time and moving forward, I'm being more specific about my topics and what I'm talking about, because I'm here to help my Black man. I'm here to give you something that you can really listen to and get educated by. I will no longer be engaging in the rhetoric of, you know, Black women this and poor the you know, white man and politics and what happened in the news. I'm not doing that anymore. That's not going to be my niche anymore. That's not going to be my focus. I'm focusing on purely with this podcast is Black men mental health issues. And that's definitely the direction we're going to go from now on. So if you rock me, you rock with me. If you don't, you know, I apologize. But I'm not going to lie. I got a lot of emails of people saying like, hey, man, you still do the mental health stuff, but you kind of got off of what the podcast was for. And, you know, they write, you know, all these years and how my life has bounced back from my first podcast and my mental health has been stable. I have gotten off the beat. So I'm back, guys. Okay. So this podcast back when anxiety shows up like anger, and this is particularly really something that Black men go through, you know, because we have a lot of anxiety about the world, meaning that, you know, we know we're targets. We know that we're the bad guy or we're perceived in a certain way that it comes out as anger. You know, the scary Black man, a Black man walks into the elevator and a woman cleans her purse. The Black man is the enemy and we're rapists and things like that, that they talk about Black men or they put those stereotypes on us. But we have real anxiety and we're defending ourselves, you know. For example, I had my nervous breakdown and, you know, it was the pressure. My anxiety got to me so much that it came out angry, but it wasn't really anger. Now reflecting back, I understand I wasn't angry. I was defending myself. I was fed up, everything on me, on my shoulders. But at the time it felt like anger, but it was really being fueled by my anxiety. Unfortunately, men don't really recognize anxiety because in the DSM-5, it says symptoms include restlessness, irritability, trouble concentrating, muscle tension, and sleep problems. And then for men, especially Black men, this can surface more as anger than classic worry. This is grounded in clinical criteria that emphasizes both emotional and psychological symptoms, not just fear or nervousness. So you have to understand that, particularly in Black men, you know, is perceived, our anxiety is perceived as anger. Our anxiety is perceived as being aggressive, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, people associate anxiety with, you know, being scared, being nervous, being not wanting to go outside or be around certain things. So at the end of the day, you know,
the anxiety is seen as this anger that's been stereotyped with us. Like I always say, is that a lot of things that are mental health for Black men are considered traits. So unfortunately, this is what this is. It's a trait, anger, being angry Black. But let's get down to the actual criteria of what anxiety is through the DSM-5 lens, okay? And I told you, I'm going to get a lot more deeper in this. You know, I do have a degree in psychology, guys, and I do have several certifications in mental health. So, you know, I'm going to do something that you're probably not used to, is really get deep into the science of it, into the psychology of it, you know? So let's break down anxiety from the DSM-5 lens. Persistent worry and tension. Sometimes that's associated with generalized anxiety disorder. Irritability and difficulty controlling worry, meaning that you worry and you try to calm down. You try not to worry, but you can't. You just can't stop worrying. You can't just stop doing it. You know, physical signs like restlessness and muscle tension, you know, because, you know, anxiety causes stress. And we all know that stress can manifest itself physically in your body. You know, a lot of stress in your body, you can get sick. Your body's more vulnerable and open to sickness, your muscles, headaches, things like that. And also something that's you avoid stress triggers. Now, what it looks like probably from the outside looking at it is that you're not engaged, you're not interested, especially if you're in a relationship or work or school. You just don't seem engaging. And people see that as being lazy or being, you have an attitude problem or you think you're better than anybody. But in reality, you know, you have anxiety and you know that these situations trigger it. So you stay far away from them because you don't want to trigger your anxiety. When I was going through my mental health, I had anxiety to the point where, like, I go outside at night. For some reason, at night was a trigger. I felt like that anxiety of being outside at night, like I shouldn't be outside. Let me get back in the house, because it was. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes now when I go outside at night, I have maybe a 0.1% feeling again of that anxiety. Like it's there, but it's not there. It's like I could feel it a bit, but it's not really there. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, you know, like it's air, you know, it's there, but it's not really there in your eyes and your view. That's how my anxiety right now, when I go out at night, it's like, I remember, you know what, basically I remember the feeling, and I joke to myself, why did I even feel that way? But I remember the feeling. So, it's always there for me. So this really touches me deeply, what we're talking about. But I feel it still, you know. Now I'm not at the point where I avoid things anymore, but I still feel it, you know what I'm saying? But you know, when it comes to men in general, you know, anxiety disorder hits 30% of people for their life. Like literally the population is overran with people with anxiety. Now, in the Black community, unfortunately, is not diagnosed enough. You know, they focus on other things. They focus on anger. They focus on trying to have a Black man take responsibility for anxieties, which entail looks like anger, which entail they stigmatize us with that. So it's like a lot of layers to peel when you're dealing with Black men and mental health. And let's talk about those hidden things of anxiety, Black men, okay? Let's talk about that as well. One of the areas I know that a lot of Black men have with the anxiety is lack of performance in the bed. This is a true story. When I was going through my mental health, I literally could not keep it hard. I could not have sex with my wife. I could not really engage sexually. I would get a minute where I'm rock hard. I get in and it just goes soft because mentally I just wasn't there. I was pushing myself to be interested. Now, not that my wife is that beautiful. My wife is fine, sexy body, feels great. Everything's perfect. But mentally, I wasn't there. I didn't think I deserved it. I didn't think I was the man I needed to be, and I didn't deserve it. And it gave me a lot of anxiety. So sexually, I couldn't perform. Like, even when I was getting, this is being real, even when I was engaging in oral sex, it just wasn't there. I couldn't perform. You know what I'm saying? And that happens to a lot of men. And then see, this is what happens too. Unfortunately for black men is when you can't perform, then she's going to talk about you. You ain't shit. You can't keep it hard, things like that. But, you know, we have a lot of anxiety because, you know, we understand that our sexuality as men is either in our favor or used against us. Meaning that we understand that when we perform well in the bed, the women love us. But when we perform bad in the bed, there is no grace. The first thing a woman does when you have an argument is, oh, your penis is small, you ain't shit in the bed, all this stuff. And see, as men, especially black men, we know this. So we always have to overperform. Because, I mean, that's if you care. Now, these men don't care. I talk, but in general, we know we have to overperform because we understand that the emphasis on sex is so prevalent on social media right now that you don't want to be the man caught up in women talking about your sex ain't good and or about your penis size. Now, penis size, we can't do nothing about it. You are born with it. But at the end of the day, that's always a concern. Now, I'm not speaking from that experience. I've never had an issue on that. But in general, there have been times that I've been nervous because when you have a woman, and this wasn't back in the day, you know, years ago, the 80s and stuff. But now women have so many experience that even if you are a decent size, she still may not feel it because she was in Miami or Jamaica dealing with the 12, 14 inch guy that was breaking her back. Now you come along with a nice size, you know, eight inches, she's going to look at you and say, what is that? And even though average size for a man is 5 inches and you way above that, because of the promiscuity of women right now, you may meet a woman that may say that 8 inches ain't nothing. I've heard it happen. It's never happened to me, but I've heard it happen. I've seen it. And then we have anxiety about that. We have anxiety that we'll always be pushed down, you know? And then things that we should recognize, though, like things that maybe you say, but we should really look at, like your heart is racing during simple conversations, feeling tense all day, but just can't explain why, or getting defensive fast. See, that's what messes up our image, is when we get defensive really fast, which is a sign of anxiety. But see, it's not looked as defensive, it's looked as angry, it's looked as aggressive. So that's the thing right there, because anxiety, you get very defensive because you don't want to trigger yourself, you don't want others to trigger you, so you defend yourself. Somebody comes at you, you come right back at them. But see, for black men, that's aggressive. For black men, that is actually showing somebody's going to fear that. We get into this fight or flight situation where either we're going to fight or we're going to leave. See, and that really does have to do with anxiety, because the thing is, you don't want to be put, you don't want to be triggered. So either you leave the situation or you act out in anger. You know, it's like a person with schizophrenia. At the end of the day, they are acting in anger, but they're not evil. But that's just their condition. Same thing with anxiety. You don't want to be hurt. You don't want somebody to say something that's going to trigger. You feel a certain way. So you're going to attack first or you're going to leave, which is very common with anxiety. One thing that's very interesting to me that I've read is statistically that black men report lower help-seeking behavior. And then nearly 6% of men aged 18 to 44 reported daily anxiety or depression feelings, but less than a third of black men in that group connected with treatment. Like, do you understand what that statistic is saying? It's saying that a lot of our black men are walking around with anxiety and depression. and don't even know that that's what it is and not even doing treatment for it. I personally think it's higher than that. I think that, that statistically, because we don't seek treatment for it, how can you really get a number? So if nobody's going and seeing and talking about it, then that number is pretty low. For you know what I'm saying? To me, that number is very low, that percentage. I believe, and this is just me, but from my experience, we're definitely looking at, I would say, 50%. I know you're like, Cass, that's a big number. That's too big of a number. But you know what's reality? I don't know one black man. You know, to be honest, I want to say 100%. But I'm not going to go that far. I'll say at least 50% of black men out here suffer from anxiety or depression. Because who wouldn't have anxiety in a world that hates you? In a world that already at your birth identifies you as the villain, as the criminal. I mean, they've done many statistics in schools where they have seen that young black men get harsher punishments than their counterparts. Because, see, children, black men, are seen as criminals. So in schools, these teachers look at something that a young black boy does more than that white boy. I give you an example. Personal example, my son was in this real fancy daycare, right? I don't want to mention names. I'm not going to give nobody credit, but one of those expensive, fancy ones we put them in. And one day we get a call and we say, and she's like, oh, your son's throwing chairs. He's going crazy. Now, I grant you, my son is a knucklehead and was a very, how can I say this? He was a very active young man. So it wasn't far from the norm when we got the call, you know, like, okay, I went to the school and the teacher like, oh my God, you know, he's throwing chairs. He's attacking people. You know, he's going crazy. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. You know, cause me, I'm not the type of person that's going to defend my son when he's wrong. He's going to get the punishment that he's deserving of what he did. So I sit down to teach. I'm like, yo, that's not acceptable. When you get home, he's mine. I was like, but you know, just tell me. So I talked to this other lady, right? The lady that was there. I said, so, you know, just tell me what happened with DJ. You know, tell me. Because at this time, my son had to be like, I don't know, five years old. And at the end of the day, you know, 4 or 5 year olds, you know, they're white rowdy. They're all over the place. They're going crazy. That's just what it is. But for some reason, these daycares want the perfect kid. And I mean, I understand if, you know, if my son was biting somebody, hitting somebody, yes, definitely. Let's move him out. But I asked the lady, I said, hey, so what happened? Show me what he did. Like, he took the chair and chugged it across the room. She's like, oh no, he didn't do that. He just pushed the chair. I was like, can you show me how he pushed it? And it was like a little push. She's like, yeah, like this. I was like, we were told that like he pushed the chair, threw it across the room. She's like, oh no, he didn't do that. I told her exactly what he did. I was like, okay, what else did he do? And then the things they were saying were so minimal, minor. There was things that kids do. And I asked the question, I was like, well, why are these things so, why do I have to get a call about my child being a kid? I'm actually looking at these kids right now that are running around. One boy hit the other girl with one of the toys. And you know what I'm saying? Just being kids. Of course, she comes in, the lady said, hey, stop. You shouldn't do that. But there was no call to the parent. There was no, oh, you got to go in timeout. There was the level of response that my son got to compare to the other kids. When I was there, I saw my own eyes. I knew, okay, what is the difference? See, and I always do this. I think logically. So what is the difference between my son and these kids, these other boys over here? Now, granted, let me tell you, we live in a pretty nice neighborhood. I would say we're about 85% Caucasian in this area. We live in a house. We live, you know, we live in an apartment. I'm not an apartment. We live in a house. We live in a neighborhood. And I would say maybe in our neighborhood, maybe there are two or three other Black families that are homeowners in our area. And that number may be exaggerated, to be honest. But, you know, so we live in an affluent neighborhood with a lot of Caucasians. So my son's daycare was right in the neighborhood. So it was made up of mostly Caucasians. Now, don't get me wrong. You did have others in it. You had Asian, you had Indian, you had Black, you had Muslim. I mean, you had a lot in there, right? But my son was obviously Black. And that in his skin, because he's light skin, yeah, yellow. But he was, you know, he's Black. So I asked the lady, I was like, well, why aren't their parents getting called? Why is my son getting called out and we're sitting here? Like, you didn't tell me anything he did that wasn't of what these kids over here are doing. So what is the difference between those kids and my son? I was like, the only thing that's different is the color of their skin. But for some reason, DJ is the troubled one, but they're not. Now, I could have got into it. I could have really done some stuff. But it really wasn't worth it. So we did move him from that daycare. That day we moved him. Not because I'm that type of parent that, you know, jumps on his kid and can't do no wrong. You know, at the end of the day, you know, he did push the chair, which is regardless of if it's not hard or not, it's very inappropriate. And he was not listening. So on those things, I agree. Like, you know, you could have called us, let us know, hey, today DJ wasn't having a really good day. So, you know, talk to your son and that could have been fine. But when you make me come in and you exaggerate of what my son's doing, when I'm literally looking at these kids right now doing the exact same thing or worse, they're putting hands on people, hitting the other girls with the dolls and, you know what I'm saying, stuffed animals and stuff like that. I'm literally looking at this, but they're targeting my son. And sometimes I don't think that it's a purposeful thing. I don't think somebody wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to be racist today. I think that it's embedded in them because of our scenery, our environment, what society puts out about Black men, that automatically they think that every Black man, subconsciously, think that they're villains, they're bad. And they have to watch them because that's what society predicts. And let's be honest here. Our music, our culture predicts a very violent, sex hungry, welfare recipient, drug dealers. Only way to make it out the hood if you become an athlete. That's what it predicts for Black men. That's what it predicts. So at the end of the day, our stereotype is that of what we not only are perceived by others, but how we perceive ourselves. We're the only culture that makes money off of our negativity. Now think about that. We're the only culture that makes money off our negativity. And then the thing is, we don't even make the money. It makes money for corporate white America. We don't even have control over our own mental health. We don't have control over our own music or anything. And I probably went too far with the music. That's another subject. But I'm going to end this off like this for y'all. When you're stressed out, you got to take a step back. You have to understand what you have in life. You have to understand that it is okay to have anxiety. It is okay to be nervous. It is okay to be scared. It's completely fine. But as a man, how long are you going to live in that scared state? How long are you going to be afraid to live your life? Because see, this is the great thing about life. The great equalizer, as I say. Some may have it harder than the others. Yeah. But in general, men, don't have it easy. And men also control the world. And as a man, you can create your own world. Don't worry about what others are doing. Don't have anxieties to the point where, like, they're messing up your life. Because see, this is the thing. Anxiety is a lot of illogical fear. Meaning there's no reason for you to be scared like I was. There was no reason for me to be scared to go outside. There wasn't. But mentally, physically, I can still perform, but mentally. See, it's all the mental game. And the thing is, you have to play it on yourself, meaning that you have to accept that you have these problems and address them immediately. Fight for yourself, not for your loved one, not for your children. Fight for yourself, because at the end of the day, we all die alone. 100 years from now, your body's going to be in the ground, decomposed, by yourself in that coffin. So understand that you have to put priority for yourself first. Protect yourself, protect your interests, and protect your family if you have one. But you can't let anxiety and stress stop you, because regardless of anything, they're going to see you the same way. But see, we should be looking for other people's approval. So you have to better yourself. But we all know when we have anxiety. We all know when we're at that breaking point. Mine was a few months in the making. I knew it was coming. Yours may be a few years. Who knows? But the great thing about life is this. You can't change the past. So there's really nothing for you to worry about anymore. If the past can't be changed, then there is nothing for you to worry about, nothing for you to have anxiety about, nothing for you to be depressed about, because there is nothing you could do about it. Do you sit here and worry about why the sky is blue every day? Do you worry about why the clouds, one some days are clear clouds and some aren't? Do you worry about what's happening to Johnny down in Fort Lauderdale getting picked on by? No, you don't care, because it has nothing to do with you. So care about yourself. Because when you start worrying, that's when the anxiety creeps in. Now you're a stereotypical black man that goes around with severe anxiety, but is viewed as anger, and now you're the angry black man. Opportunities get closed, all that. One of the things I started to notice is that I'm back in the music business. I'm managing some high-profile clients right now. And what I've noticed is that I was going in the wrong direction with my content creation. I was going in the wrong direction, even with my thinking. You know, I got caught up in the lore of the red pill and started watching those shows and stuff like that. And I got caught up, you know, I got caught up in trying to get the clicks or get the shot factor and things like that. I did. I admit it. I had anxiety about my podcast because I said, how can I take my podcast to the next level? How can I have it to be bigger? What can I do? So my anxiety started to kick in. But then I said to myself, your success is not pending on anybody else. By myself, I'm a brand. By myself, I'm a movement. So I don't need to be nervous about others or be triggered by situations. I need to take that energy and focus it in on what's important to me. The great thing about life is that you don't have to worry about the past, but you're allowed to change your present and your future, which is totally in your control. Now, I know some people say, oh, Cass, you know, a lot of things happen to people that they didn't want and all that. And you're right. It happens. But see, like I always say, there are exceptions to the rules, but I do not move like I'm an exception to the rule. You know, just because I live in the hood and I know the drug dealers and people like that, I walk down the block with confidence because I know everybody, I'm good. Right. But I still do know that they're drug dealers. If they're in my way, I'm going to have something to protect myself. Now, that doesn't mean it's still not a beautiful day. That doesn't mean that, you know, that, you know, I feel I'm going to die every day, but it's caution, it's protection, it's understanding stuff. So at the end of the day, you have to control your anxiety by controlling your environment. controlling what you surround yourself, the people and the things and the opportunities you surround yourself with. Because anxiety is a real thing. Stress is a real thing. To me, stress and anxiety should go hand in hand. So understand that the anger you think you're feeling, reevaluate it and say to yourself, is this true anger or is this anxiety? Is this fight or flight mode? Is this, you know, fight or flight? Is this, you know, me getting sick? Is, you know, you have to say to yourself and be honest. It's like, this is what it is. And I encourage every Black man to go and meet with a mental health specialist, a psychologist, or whoever, a mentor, because at the end of the day, you have to be able to put yourself in a space that you won't have anxiety. And then the anxiety triggers all these different reactions, fight or flight, attitude, anger, real anger. Angry that nobody listens to you, understands you. So let's identify anxiety and get some help. Because at the end of the day, that's what's important, is your mental health to be stable, especially as a Black man in America. All right, guys, until next time.